Congregation, we open the Word of God and read Exodus chapter 33. We read from Exodus chapter 33, and we read the verses 12 through 23. The verses 12 through 23. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto me, If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon is verse 21. Verse 21, And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. So far. Moses, the man of God, has a burden. And the burden is that he has to lead the people into Canaan. And he knows it's a stiff-necked people. But Moses has also another burden. A burden that he loves his sender, his maker. And that he is, and that the relationship with his maker and him has to be good, very good. There cannot be the slightest infraction between him and the Lord impeding upon that relationship. And that's why, as a mediator, having to represent a sinful people, and having to stand before a holy God, Moses feels that stress. He feels the strain. And he needs God above everything else. God. And therefore he is pleading, interceding, that the Lord's presence would go with the people. But that's not enough. He himself needs to be sure of a perfect, clear, open bond and relationship with his maker, with his sender. And therefore he breaks down and says, Show me thy glory. And then the Lord carries on and says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. You see, God's glory is his goodness. Moses asks for the glory. The Lord answers, goodness. Because that's God's glory. His goodness. The Lord wants us to realize that. That His goodness in our lives is a reflection of His glory. When you see the goodness of the Lord in your life, what do? You become so small. You humble yourself. You want to be small. Because the Lord is good. And He only is important. He must receive all adoration. When you see God's goodness overwhelming you, then you ascribe glory and adoration to Him. You want to be small. You want to fade down. To Him all glory. That's what heaven will be. Giving all glory to Him. And people of God, your best moments in this life were when you saw something of God's goodness and glory. You ascribed to Him all honor. And you wanted to be small. Small. Because God is good. That's what's going to happen to Moses. In a very great manner. In a very significant way. So the Lord says in verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. You see, God's goodness is His glory, but His glory is also revealed in His sovereignty, that He will be merciful to whom He will be merciful. And He will be gracious to whom He will be gracious. What does that mean, boys and girls? That means that God chooses whom He will be gracious to. God chooses whom He will be merciful. And those people who receive His mercy and His grace, they realize it's His sovereign goodness. And that's what makes you to want to be so small. I don't deserve this. He's so good for a sinner like me. And you become so small. That's His sovereignty. He will be merciful to whom He will be merciful. And if you now wonder, would God be willing to be merciful to me? Do not start with His sovereignty. Do not stare at His sovereignty. You will do that when He shows you His mercy and His goodness and His grace. But when you're looking for His mercy, look to the Lord Jesus and His promises, which are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. For Jesus' sake, God is willing to be merciful. And has He not invited us so many times? Has He not called us by name? Never despair when you think of God's sovereignty, but worship Him for His sovereignty. The Lord would show Moses the visible representation of His sovereign goodness, and Moses would be highly privileged, but Moses could not see the Lord. Because the Lord, Moses had said, Lord, show me Thy glory. But the Lord says in verse 20, Thou canst not see My face, because God's glory shines from His being, and especially His face. We know a person by his face. That's the expression you see. If he's joyful, or if he's sad, or his face. That's so important. And you see, His face, that's the radiation of His glory. the fullness of His glory. We don't understand that. That's His intrinsic, His inner, His deepest manifestation of His innermost, everlasting, holy being. The angels, they cover their faces for His face. And so God says to Moses, "Thou canst not see My face, for there shall no man see Me and live, because we will be consumed by that glory." Boys and girls, can you look right into the sun? No, of course you cannot. You shield your eyes away from it. If you look too long in the sun, it will blind you. And you will never be able to see again. And you know, God made the sun. The sun is His handiwork. What then shall God Himself be in His glory? And so Moses cannot see God, and so the Lord still wants to encourage Moses because God is dealing very compassionately with him. And so we see what the Lord does in verse 21 through 23. "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by Me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while My glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with My hand while I pass by. And I will take away Mine hand, and thou shalt see My back parts, but My face shall not be seen." So the manifestation of God's glory would bring destruction upon a mere human being. And even Moses, the man of God, the mediator of the Old Testament, who spoke to God like a man speaks to his friend, this mediator, he needs protection, for he would be consumed by the radiant glory of God. And so the Lord says, "I will place you in a cleft of the rock. There is a place by Me." What a comfort. There's a place by Me. "And I will cause My glory to pass by. And as I do so, I will cover you with My hand. And as I pass by, I will remove My hand. And I will allow you, Moses, to see My back part. And there you will see such glory already." Calvin says that hand, that's darkness. What Calvin means to say is that we are to understand it that God would cause some, not darkness in the sense of something evil, but as a covering, the sense something that beclouds Moses' view between him and the Lord. And as the Lord moves by, that hindrance the Lord put there for the protection of Moses will be removed. Because Moses may see something of the holiness of God, but he must also realize that he is a sinner. You see, before one sees something of the goodness of the Lord, one must see also his own vileness, and that we cannot stand before the Lord. And so the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by Me." And the emphasis is on that word, "Me." That's why there is a place. It's a place because of Him, because of God Himself. God prepares a place for weak people, for sinful people, for people who have to accuse themselves that they're not worthy to be at the supper, for people who have to accuse themselves that they cannot stand before His sight, and a servant who's not worthy to be a servant of the Lord, and a congregation. We all need this place with the Lord. that place is only found in Him. That place is not to be found on our presumptions. It's not to be found in our own righteousness. And certainly not on all our own self-made conceptions about God and salvation and our reasonings and our presumptions. No. The only place is there in God, on the rock. And the rock was Christ. 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4. The rock was Christ. Moses stands here on Christ. And that's why there's a place with God. And so only can He stand before the glory of God. It's all in Christ. And in that rock, in that place, in that secret dwelling place of the Most High, on that rock that is too high for Moses, God Himself must place Him there. On that rock, Christ, in that hiding place, under the shadow of the Almighty, under the shadow of His wings, there you are safe. Absolutely safe. Safe. Because God is Almighty, safe. And whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. The emphasis is the Lord, not whether we are alive or whether we're dead. The emphasis is the Lord. It's not whether we're in Hamilton or in Middle Harness. It's not if there's a minister or not a regular minister for the time being. It is the Lord. Him we need. There is a place by me. And there you are safe. He knows your needs. He knows your day. He knows all things. And the aim will be to be there with Him forever. That's the aim. Why are we alive? For Him. And why will God's people die? For Him. And after death, it's for Him. Him! What a comfort. What a rock. What a stability. He is God. God alone. Revealing Himself in Christ Jesus, the Mediator of the New Testament, the Savior. Jesus is that cleft in the rock. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, speaks of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Again, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where do you see that? In the face of Jesus Christ shining upon you. Jesus is that place. The place of mercy. The place where God allows sinners to stand. Where God allows sinners to be blessed. Where God allows sinners to see something of His goodness, of His personal goodness for you, and your heart melts. It's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of who He is and what He has done. And it's in that place where you are safe. It's in that place that I've tried to call you 22 years. Far above my expectation and probably yours to be so long here. But it's in that place where God will no longer be angry with us. There you will have peace. There you will have mercy. There the Lord will show His glory in the face of Christ Jesus shining to you. Because if you see the Son, you see the Father. In Jesus, you see the glory of God. And that glory, that goodness, you see it demonstrated, a full remission of all your sins and being imputed the full, perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to stand before God reconciled and receive deed and title to everlasting life. What goodness, what mercy. O wretched man that I am, that I do not love Him more. O Lord, unite my heart to fear Thy name, for Thou so good. And there you know, in that place it's good. Between the Lord and your soul it is well. And there Moses knew, it is well. It is good. The Lord was his God. In that place, you lean on the perfect righteousness of the Lord. And even though there may be darkness around you, Moses also had a kind of darkness around him. If we go by Calvin's interpretation, at least we can say he didn't see the glory of the Lord at first, because the hand of the Lord shielded him. And you can be in that place. You know it. You know the Lord. And you wonder, where is the Lord who gives psalms in the night? Where is the Lord upon whom I hoped? But He will come. He will come again. He will remove that darkness. And He will shine again with His light. Maybe at the supper, that you would see none but Jesus alone. That you would see Him, that place, that rock, that remission, that goodness, that sovereign love for me. And you become so small. And why can you be there in that rock, in that place? Because the Lord Jesus stood in the breach. He stood in the gap. Christ endured the consuming wrath of God. We deserve to be consumed. We don't understand that. We deserve to be cast away. We don't understand that. We don't realize all the blessings we're receiving, you and I, the blessings we're receiving. We don't deserve that. We receive what we don't deserve. And what I deserve to receive, I don't get. I don't receive it. All because of Him, Christ, the mediator. And the beatings I should have received, He received them. And the smitings I should have received, He received them. For He bore our transgressions. And the punishment of God was upon Him. And He was smitten. And with His stripes we are healed. He gave Himself everything. And therefore, it will be our desire also to give everything. Because we're not to live for ourselves. For Him. For Him. He loved. John says He loved us first. And therefore we love Him. For Him there was no place. No place for the Lord Jesus. who had always loved his Father perfectly, who had obeyed all God's commandments, who never asked anything from anyone, to have him advantage himself. He loved as none other. He gave himself. But for him there was no place. Upon him all the billows of God's wrath poured out, because he was considered to be the sinner, and thus it behooved him to accomplish all righteousness, and he did it. And there he went on his Via Dolorosa, the way of his suffering, and there was punishment upon him. And they brought him to Calvary, out of Jerusalem, out of the temple, away with him. No place for him on the earth. No place for him in heaven. And so they hung him up somewhere in between. No place, away with him. And God hid his own face from his Son. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he wept. He wept. And he sweat, as it were, drops of blood, because God was leaving him. That should have been you and me forever. We can't fathom it. He gave himself for me. That's it. That's it. When you see that, your life can't be the same anymore. Have you seen it? Has the Lord become too strong for you to be at the supper? You have to see this. He gave himself for me. There at the supper, that's what's celebrated. He gave himself for me. And so he accomplished a full and perfect righteousness. And so he prepared that place. And that place is rock solid. That place is firm and sure. That's a place where Christ is exalted. And there's a place for such people at the supper. You know that place in their own lives and at the supper. There they will look to him and see in him mercy, love. For he lifts up the banner above 10,000. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is our captain of our salvation. He is the one to look to. He is altogether lovely. He is glorious. Oh, that everything that is in me would love him and honor him. To him be the glory. He plants a church. He keeps a church. And he calls people to come into a church. And he makes them an elder, or a minister, or a deacon. And he gives them a burden for the church. And he draws people to the church. Some leave. And others come. And he invigorates and gives prayer in the flock so that a minister can preach. And then the Lord does it all. To him be the glory, the praise, the thanksgiving, the honor, the adoration, and the glory forever and ever and ever. And that's also in anticipation of that we have the Lord's Supper. Till he comes, and then to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and no separation. The church of all ages, of all people, blessed. O people of God, come and rest on the arm of your beloved, and come to that place, for the Lord says also now to a poor and afflicted people, to a people who have no righteousness in themselves, to a people who look to him, who long for him. The Lord says, there is a place with me at the supper. Come, eat and drink with me before my face. Amen.